All right, welcome back, everyone. On Deck Circle Podcast, a less handsome version than usual without Santa Bodie here. Nick is thinking he's a baller, and I believe he's at the Celtics game tonight. So,
oh, I thought he canceled us for Bachelor, but I guess not.
I mean, you never know with Nick. He may have gave us a line of shit, you know, because he knows we'd respect a playoff game. And the reality is, he may just be watching some reruns of The Bachelor. I mean, I guess that's just as likely. So, fun fact, I do have money on the Celtics money line tonight. So,
nice.
I've actually got a pretty big parlay that revolves around, oddly enough, Grayson Allen and an under from Marcus Smart, and then the Celtics money line. So once
Nick
this is
appreciates
over,
that, I'm sure.
I know, and I was going to send it to you guys, and I just totally forgot, as I knew he'd appreciate it. But once this is over and I do my little bit of stuff on Twitter, I'm actually going to head downstairs and I'm gonna follow that. But nice. Let's get into some baseball stuff. Jason, what do you think?
All right, yeah, let's do it.
Mix it up a little bit?
Yeah.
So I want to start off here talking about Jose Miranda. He's obviously getting called up now from the Minnesota Twins. Miguel Sano goes on the IL, which is still hard for me not to say DL, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So he's interesting. I mean, he's, you know, one of the better prospects in baseball so far this year. Let's see here. Down in AAA, nothing too spectacular. Batting 256. Only a 295 OBP, get a 737 slug. So, you know, considering that on base percentage, you know, that's not a terrible OPS. Two home runs, and let's see, he's got a 14 strikeout to 5 walk ratio. So that's not too bad. I mean, 14 games, 21 games, that's not too shabby. Just the average is lacking a little bit, especially, you know, after he hit 344 last year.
Right.
And had a 400, you know, OBP. And, you know, a lot of that was in AAA, which is where he's at now. So, you know, he's not necessarily off to the hot start that you would like to see. I think we all prefer that when a prospect gets called up, it's because he's on fire and, you know, has forced his way into the lineup. This is an injury. So, you know, I mean, it's not like he's doing terrible, but what are your thoughts on what you expect to see maybe from Miranda in his anticipated debut here?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you nailed a lot of points on the head. But, yeah, I mean, this is a guy that makes, you know, a ton of contact. He's got only a 12% K rate in the minors. He did have that breakout 2021 season where he hit 30 home runs and 94 RBIs. So this is a guy that's going to put the ball in play. The power numbers really came out in 2021, so I kind of expect that to continue again this year. He's going to be playing a lot of third and first, I think, with Sano out. He played third yesterday. He's playing first tonight. He went 0-for-4 last night, but he didn't strike out. He's 0-for-0. I watched his at-bat earlier today. He's 0-for-1. Flew out to left tonight. So he's obviously making contact, so it's not like he's overpowered. He's not looking unmatched, both at AAA and the majors. But, yeah, I mean, I would assume it's going to be power. And I don't know exactly what the timetable is for Sano. But and for whatever reason, they keep giving him at-bats. I'm not quite sure why Minnesota just loves Miguel Sano so much. But he continues, even when healthy, to get at-bats, which is actually just a shame because he's just downright pitiful. So I'd like to see what this kid can do. Again, he's got the power, kind of broke out in 2021, and I wonder if he can continue that up at the major league level this year.
Well, it looks like Sano could be out for a little while.
Okay.
He's got a left knee sprain. And apparently, really, what they're deciding on this week is whether or not he needs to have surgery.
Okay.
If he has surgery, they think he'll be back at some point this season. But just based on, you know, the terminology of that, that leads me to believe that it's, you know, it's going to be a lengthy absence.
It says
specifically a timeline is not yet known for when he may return to the lineup. But, I mean, you know, he has been absolutely ice cold so far. Mm-hmm. He's batting under 165 plate appearances.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not a whole lot, you know, going on. And, you know, he's got a 121 BABIP. So it's not like he's getting unlucky. You know, I mean, he's basically hitting around his BABIP.
Yep.
You know, so yeah. So I guess theoretically, would you be too surprised if, assuming Miranda has a pretty good debut, if he just doesn't stick around and either push, you know, Sano to the bench, or, I mean, you know, maybe just replaces Sano in general?
Yeah, I would. I, you know, if I'm the Twins, I'm obviously, if he can come up here in the next week or two and show that he can, you know, hit for a decent average, maybe hit a couple home runs here and there, I'm definitely playing him over Sano. I'm, like I said, I've, this guy is just, Sano is, again, batting under 100. I mean, this guy needs to just, like, be DFA'd, I think, at this point. I'm not sure what his contract looks like, but I would love to see Miranda get at bats. And he kind of has that, like, utility, and, like, he can play all positions in the infield. I was really hoping to see him get, you know, obviously the middle infield is where most fantasy players need help at, especially second base, but I don't know if he's ever really played any second base in the minors. I was kind of looking that up right now because I have him on one of my teams and I'm hurting for second base. I'm like, man, if this guy could just get some second base eligibility, but I think he's more destined for third base and first base, because that's the majority of his playing time has been. So
yeah,
I like I said, if he can catch on here a little bit, I'm all for the plate appearances.
For sure. For sure. I mean, the Twins, you know, leading the AL Central. So It would lead you to believe that they were, you know, that they're going to do what's best for them. So if Miranda is deemed to be, you know, the guy that gives them the best chance to win, I mean, how do you not play him? It's not like Sano is forcing Miranda out. So if Miranda can come up and do something, then I think you'll see him. Of course, we know what, you know, we look at when it comes to prospects getting called up. You know, don't expect that this guy is just going to mash. You know, he struggling, not struggling, but he wasn't excelling early on at AAA. So temper your expectations, but of course, you know, feel free to wish for the best here. So next on the docket here, Chris Paddock. Nice to see him get back on track a little bit here with Minnesota. Now, his stats so far this year are not eye-popping, but considering, you know, what we've seen from him, you know, since his breakout season way back in 2019, you know, we're seeing something pretty nice here. I mean, you know, he's basically been pitching to about a 5 ERA and about a, you know, .125 whip over the last, you know, two previous seasons. And, you know, that's been disappointing, but, you know, maybe a little closer to in line, you know, with what we maybe should expect from after that 2019 season. But so far he is, you know, pretty much on pace with that 2019 season. You know, it's a little hit or miss, but of course we're talking just 20 innings here. He's got an ERA of 3.15, a whip of 1.10, and he struck out 16 guys over 20 innings, but he's only walked two. So, you know, K rate's not crazy high, but the K to walk rate is amazing. And just the walk rate alone is pretty impressive. So it's been nice to see him get back on track. I've been a guy that has been in on Chris Paddock this entire time. I kind of thought that, you know, buying low on him these, you know, especially last year, I thought that made sense just because I thought that there was some upside to be had there. And then I thought the trade to Minnesota probably was a good thing. And, you know, kind of sucks to get him out of San Diego, but sometimes a change of scenery, you know, can make an absolute world of difference. And basically what we're seeing this year is, he's added a slider, which he doesn't throw a whole bunch, but he throws it, you know, a little bit. He's kind of decreased his four-seam fastball as well, and that's definitely worked out pretty well for him because that fastball got hit around a little bit. Like, not crazy, but, you know, the fastball was getting hit because the rest of the metrics are fairly similar. I mean, his curveball is actually getting hit much worse than what it was previously, and he's throwing it more often. But I think him just having a little bit more of a spread out pitch mix is likely to have something to do with it. Now, again, 20 innings, so, you know, we can calm down a little bit. But it is nice to see him get back on track a little bit. What do you think about his prospects, not just for the rest of this season, but just kind of going forward from a dynasty lens, Jason?
Yeah, I think just to echo some of the things you said here, I think moving to Minnesota, that change of scenery, and he also kind of seems like he may be getting that learning how to pitch more than just throw. You know what I mean? Like, he came up, he had that high velocity, tacked, he's always attacked the zone, right? That's why we've seen that low walk rate. But this time he's getting more, you know, he's attacking that zone still, but he's getting a little bit more swing and misses. He's obviously got his chase rate. He's back above 30%. So even when he's getting outside that zone, he's getting hitters to chase. And so far he's gone, you know, into the sixth inning and three of his four starts, which is obviously, I think for the last couple of seasons, he's kind of been almost barely making it through the second time through the lineup. So I think he might be turning that corner where he's learning a little bit more to just how to pitch and mix in those three, four pitches more versus just going up to trying to overpower hitters. Exactly. Like you said, the strikeouts aren't exactly where we wanted to be, especially with someone like Paddock, who we got used to having those high strikeout totals. But can't argue with the results. He's currently got a FIP of 193, which that ranks in the top 10 of all pitchers with at least 20 innings this season. So he's obviously doing something right. And again, in Dynasty Leagues, this is somebody that when he came up, you were like loving that, right? He just comes up, he's getting wins, striking guys out. And then we saw the bad seasons the last two seasons. So if you've been holding him in Dynasty, I think this is what you could ask for at this point is the results.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that concerns me, if you will, is the K rate is down a little bit. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's just under 20%. He's got a career K rate of 24%. And I mean, the league average is 22. I like to see guys, you know, at about 25. Yep. So, I mean, all it takes is him to go out his next start and, you know, strike out, 10 guys over five innings. And all of a sudden, his K rate starts to look much better with the sample size. But, you know, XERA is only 271. So you could even say that his 315 is a little bit higher than it should be. And you just mm-hmm. talked about his FIP in good shape. So, I mean, it is entirely possible to think that we're going to actually see him improve. And, you know, that's exciting if you're someone like myself that held on to him and, you know, are is hopeful that you're going to see him get closer to 2019 than, you know, 2020, 21. But, I mean, when we're talking about pitching, one of the first things that I go to, Jason, is I always like to look at pitch mix, you know, and that's what scares me about the guy like Hunter Green, like we've been talking about, when he's pumping 70% fastballs. That's only going to work for so long, man. I mean, unless you're Mariano Rivera, you know, you've got to mix it up. If you're going to be a starter and be successful, like you have to be able to effectively throw three pitches, and you probably need to have a fourth one that somebody at least has to think about.
Absolutely.
And so that's where I think, like I said, Paddock's decrease in fastball to me is a huge positive, especially when it was getting, you know, like I said, it was getting hit around at a decent clip. And it's better this year. I mean, he's got a 229 batting average against right now with that four seamer. And just if we just look at last year, it was 314. So huge difference. And the XBA follows right along. I'm not going to rattle off the XBAs there, but they're right along in the same line. So that's good news.
Let's just hope it's not a product of the dead ball. So let's look back at it maybe like in July or August and see what he is. But yeah, for right now, it looks good.
Yeah, either way, same playing field as everybody else. So dead ball or not, that's what everyone's using. So, all right, Jason, time for us to do a little bit of this. Down on the farm. So why don't you go ahead? You've got Down on the Farm this week. You actually have someone that I had not heard of before.
Nice.
So congratulations to you on that. I had not heard of this gentleman, so I'm extraordinarily curious to hear your thoughts on this guy because I'm going to learn right along with everybody else.
Sure. Well, I'm going to take this time here to talk about a little bit of a homer pick here as it's a Chicago Cub pitcher. I know it's one thing that Dave loves, and it's pitching prospects. So why not go ahead and talk about him? But anyway, yeah, DJ Hurst, an eighth-round pick from the Cubs in 2019. He was out of the, you know, as a prep arm at that point. But he's one of the more electric arms in that 2019 for a prep arm. The funny thing is the Cubs' biggest knock have always been, can they draft and develop pitchers, right? We've not seen them be able to do that in the last few years, even dating back to prior to Epstein. So that's one of the biggest issues that they've been dealing with the last decade or two. But yeah, I mean, he's kind of had a little bit of a slow start. He's still down in the low minors since 2019. Obviously no 2020 season, so that obviously hurt his development. But he did have a solid 2021. He's off to a good start here in 2022. His 2021 numbers, when you look at it, he had 20 games started. He had 81 innings. He had a 3.31 ERA, just a little bit over a one whip. But the strikeout numbers where it kind of, you know, jumps off the page. He had 131 Ks in 81 innings. And then only had 44 walks. Again, it was, you know, low and high, a little bit in high A. But so far this year, he's got four games started. He's only got two earned runs. He's got that 20 K to five walk ratio. Only a 1.29 ERA. So again, starting off where he kind of left off in 2021. His features a three-pitch mix. He's got a mid-90s, sometimes upper-90s fastball. He's got a nice changeup that's kind of developing into more of like his out pitch. He's also got a really solid 12-6 curve. He does throw a slider, but he's kind of going away from the slider and relying more on that curveball. And as a left-handed pitcher, he gets out. You know, he attacks both lefties and righties, so you can strike out both. If you look at his splits, real nice splits from both lefty and righties. Again, I think he's only 21. Still got some development, still low minor, so as they would say, he's going to get hurt at some point here, so hold out on those shares. But I think for someone that's, you know, maybe outside most people's top 100, top 150, maybe even out of top 200, this guy's could, you can see, 2022 could be a good telling point for him. If he can develop onto 2021 numbers, I could see him, you know, making an impact in next year in 2023 for the Cubs, because obviously, you know, we're hurting for pitching. So,
and I'll tell you, this is a guy that I'm going to have eyes on at some point this year, because he plays in the, you know, Midwest League. So,
oh yeah, there you go.
He's going to be coming to Lansing at some point. It would seem likely that he probably sticks in high A for at least a while. Because he barely pitched in high A last year. And I tell you what, I looked at the numbers here real quick while you were chatting. And, you know, his first three games, he threw 11 innings, only gave up two hits. And he had one earned run. And he's been pretty consistent in his strikeouts. 5 and 3 innings, 5 and 4 innings, 4 and 4. And then his last outing, he had 6 and 3. So, you know, he's been consistent. You know, take away the four hits here in this last game. And, you know, those first 11 innings were especially impressive. And so, yeah, this will be a guy that I'll be very interested to actually get some eyes on, and we'll kind of see where he goes. As I looking over his grades here on his, you know, pitches, it looks like his changeup is his bread and butter. They're giving him a 65 grade on MLB Pipeline on that changeup. So, I mean, I'll be honest. I really like when a guy's best pitch is, you know, is their off-speed pitch. I think that's super important. I'm not a huge fan of their 45 control grade. That scares me.
Right.
You know, I think that especially in the lower levels, that's the one thing you can kind of get away with is having poor control, because you're not facing really disciplined, really, you know, seasoned hitters. And let's see, Joe's got something to say absolutely. Here. Joe says, Dave looks like he's falling asleep talking about his favorite position. Well, Joe, it's funny. Maybe you should ask your wife what my favorite position is.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, make comments, Joe. Make comments, buddy. But, yeah, I'd be interested to see him. I'll definitely take some video. We'll post it on Twitter for all to see. But it'd be nice, like you said, if he could go ahead and continue, you know, and the trajectory is on, because I wouldn't say he could be on a fast pace to the big league level, but at 21, you could see him theoretically, if he maintains this pace, maybe towards the end of next season, it's a possibility.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of figuring too.
Possibly, you know, so I don't know, man. Let's go ahead and let's pop on to the next one here. We got Taylor Ward off to a really hot start for the Los Angeles Angels, and I'm sure there's probably quite a few people that are going, well, wait a second, who is Taylor Ward exactly? Not necessarily a household name, but you know, 28-year-old, you know, multi-positional player here for the Angels, who has really had a great start to the season here. And you know, if you go back and look at even like 2021, and 2020 a little bit, you know, where he got some playing time. It hasn't been a whole lot to write home about, but he's been a fairly productive player. But then you look at, you know, 2022 here, and, you know, he's already off to a great start, betting 390 with a 493 OBP. You add all this up, and you've got over a 1,200 OPS. So, obviously, you know, the sky is going to crash to some point here. I mean, 16 runs scored, you know, so that's obviously, you know, super huge. And he's almost walking as much as he's striking out. So, I mean, you know, what more can you ask for out of the guy? Definitely probably worth, you know, if he's not already owned in your redraft league, you know, definitely a guy that you're going to want to go and find. Dynasty, you might want to take it with a bit of a grain of salt, but, you know, he never hurts to check in, because you never know what you're going to find out. And, you know, if you go on Baseball Savant, he's got a lot of red circles all over the place. So, I mean, it's interesting. Definitely somebody to keep an eye on. What are your thoughts there with Taylor Ward moving forward, Jason?
Yeah, this guy is kind of intriguing. Like I said, he's never really done anything too special, but he is a former first-round pick. He's got that kind of reminiscent to me of, you know, don't forget Joe Mad's the coach there, right? So someone that came to mind when I've been seeing this guy, maybe not to full extent, but Ben Zobrist, right? Just one of those guys that plays the game well. Joe Mad loves these, like, gritty guys that can make contact. But, yeah, the biggest thing to me is the power, right? We've only seen him get one solid season, which is kind of a fluke to me. And he had 28 home runs in 2019. Other than that, and that's in the minors. He's got 5 home runs already this year in 16 games. And he's only ever had a career high of 8 home runs. Yeah. And he's not hitting the ball hard. Like you said, his hard hit rate, you know, and his exit velo are all both in the bottom half of the league. But his expected stats are all in the tops of the league. So it's like, where's that? Obviously, where's that going to collide with each other? But he's on an 8-game hit streak. He's being more selective. You know, he's cut down on his whiff, chase, and K rate this year. And then, obviously, let's be honest, his hot start has taken playing time away from a Joe Adell, who's actually been optioned back down to AAA now. And obviously, that might be a part of that is because Taylor Ward's been doing so well. And obviously, Odell's not doing so great. But, yeah, I mean, this one's kind of out of the blue. Like you said, I'm not really sure people will be having them rostered in dynasty leagues. But for your redrafts, I mean, this guy, if you don't have him on your roster, or at least it's not in your lineup, I'm not sure what's going on.
I mean, you know, one thing that I like to look at is, you know, average exit velocity, because I think that gives you a really good indication of, you know, someone's sustainability. And he's in the 26th percentile, so bottom, you know, bottom quarter of the league. But then you look at his hard hit rate, and I mean, it's not much higher, but it's at 40%. So he's barreling the ball more than he's getting the exit velocity, because his barrel percentage is at the 89th percentile. So it's interesting. Obviously, like I said, you know, his 390 average is not going to stay, but his XBA is still at 325. So, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at, you know, even there. And he's killing a little bit of everything. So, I mean, 412 against the fastball, and, you know, pretty much, you know, well over 300 against, you know, everything else. So he's doing it all over the place. And, you know, like I said, in redraft especially, I would definitely ride the hot hand, because you just, this could be a guy that, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily comes out of nowhere, but has a really solid season that flies extremely under the radar. You know, be careful with him in dynasty leagues, but for redraft especially, I mean, I don't see the reason not to ride it.
He already has 7 multi-hit games, including 2 3-hit games. So, yeah.
And he's walking.
Doing something. Yeah.
I mean, he's walking. So, I mean, you know, what more do you want from the guy, you know?
Yeah, OBP of 500. So, it's like exactly. Doing something, right?
So, next up here, we got a promotion for probably a more once-heralded prospect, but a guy that's definitely came back on the scene. And that's MJ Melendez, you know, catcher for the Royals. The, you know, definitely at one time the heir apparent to Mr. Sal Perez, but, you know, we haven't seen him do a whole lot here, at least this season. in the minors. It's, again, like we're talking about here for weeks on end. Small sample size, 78 at-bats. He's batting .167, couple home runs. He's actually walking quite a bit. So, I mean, that brings his OBP up to .286, which is still crazy low, obviously. But, you know, 13 walks to 22 strikeouts really isn't too bad, you know, especially for a catcher, somebody that, you know, has decent power. We're talking about like a 60, you know, power guy as far as the, you know, grade is concerned. So you definitely like to see that. Obviously, he's not going to be like stealing at-bats from Sal Perez or anything like that. He's kind of up there to be the backup catcher. But depending on how well he plays, you know, you could see with the DH in effect, theoretically, he gets off to a hot start. And why wouldn't you keep him around? I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming that he would have to take a near miracle to keep him around. I think he just needs a, you know, a little bit more developmental time down in AAA, and maybe we see him, you know, towards the end of the season. But I don't know. It to be determined, you know. It's exactly what happens. I don't think, like I said, we'll see him up for very long. But what are your thoughts on MJ Melendez getting his crack?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, I think he's still just going to be the backup to Sal Perez. So the playing time, I think, is going to be the biggest hurdle. However, he is hitting DH tonight. So they obviously called him up and they want to see what he can do. You know, he's got still has a really good approach at the plate. He's got a 14% walk rate. He's got big power upside. He had 41 home runs last year between AA and AAA. And let's be honest, he's basically just a younger, similar player to Sal Perez. Great defender, big time power. Yep. Maybe not strikes out quite as much as Sal Perez, but again, I think this is more just with Cam Gallagher going on the IL. I think this might just be for a backup catcher position. But like I said, we'll see what he does. Like what they want to do with him, they obviously put him in the lineup right away. So you know, if he can, you know, catch on here and you know, hit for some power and hit some home runs at DH. I don't know who else. I'm not too familiar with the Royals lineup. Maybe. I don't know who else would be hitting DH for them, but maybe they just split time between catcher, Sal Perez and Melendez at DH and catcher.
It's possible. I'm pretty sure we'll just see him up for long enough to, you know, fill the void and then, you know, right back down he goes. But I mean, obviously we root for these guys, you know, no one's hoping that's what happens. I just think that's probably the most logical, you know, thing. And the last thing we want to talk about here is, you know, it's been a while since we've seen Mike Clevenger on the mound, and he is set to come back for the Padres. So, Jason, why don't you tell me, you know, your excitement level or your expectations for, you know, seeing him return to the mound?
Yeah, it's almost hard to get excited, right? Because we haven't seen this guy since September of 2020, and he still only appeared in four games for San Diego since that trade from Cleveland. And it's kind of funny because he was set to appear tonight to make his debut, but unfortunately there was rain, and it's actually against his former team in Cleveland. But he is scheduled to start tomorrow in the doubleheader. They came out and said that maybe they might have a six-man rotation for at least one more week. However, Blake Snell's set to come back soon too, so I can't imagine, you know, Nick Martinez or someone like that's going to be in the rotation for much longer. I'm not sure who the odd man is out right now, but you know, he had a solid rehab stint so far in the past couple weeks. He appeared, I think, in like three or four games, eight innings, 15 Ks, and like a 2-something ERA. So he's obviously pitching well. He's come out and said that he's, you know, been controlling all five of his pitches really well. So yep. He seems like he's ready. I think San Diego Padres and their fans are ready. Anyone that's been holding on to this guy since in Dynasty League since 2020 is obviously ready. And, you know, being on San Diego is only going to help get the more, you know, better run support, hopefully, and some more win opportunities. This guy was great before he came down and got hurt. So I think there's got to be some excitement behind his debut.
Yeah. I mean, before Clevenger got hurt, you know, he definitely was a guy, you know, that I really liked. I thought the world of him. Of course, you know, he turns around and gets injured, but, you know, for his career, 3.19 ERA, 1.19 WHIP. I know those are great, obviously, ratios. Striking out, you know, a little bit more than a guy in inning. You know, 603 Ks in 542 innings. And his strikeout to walk ratio is basically 3-1. So not too bad there either. And like we just talked about previously, you know, one of my favorite things about him is he can throw five pitches, which is exactly what you said, and nothing above 40%. So again, huge difference between Hunter Green, 70% fastballs, and, mm-hmm. you know, 40%, you know, coming from Clevenger here. And the slider isn't too far behind it. So those are his two favorite pitches, but mixes in the curveball, mixes in the changeup, and can throw a cutter as well. So it's exciting. You know, if you did, you know, roster him somewhere, like you said, you've been waiting for him, and yep. here he is. If he stays healthy, I don't want to say the sky is the limit, but I mean, he is definitely a top 25 starting pitcher potential. I could argue top 20. I could argue top 15. Mm-hmm. That may be about as far as it goes, especially this season coming back from injury. But, you know, when healthy, when pitching correctly, or not correctly, but when pitching well, I mean, he could flirt with top 10, you know, pitcher value. So, you know, very exciting to see him get back on the mound. He just has to stay healthy. And you know that that's my problem with pitching is you got a guy that has all the talent in the world. And if he's not on the mound, who really gives a shit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm definitely hoping for the best for Clevenger because he's fun to watch. And in my opinion, I think it's fun to watch. And you definitely invested something to get him if you owned him. So,
yeah.
So fun times, man. I think that should do it for us, Jason. I think it wasn't yeah. too bad for the ugliest version of the screen that we could possibly pull together. So, it was great talking some baseball with you, man. I hope everyone enjoyed the conversation. And I imagine that barring some unforeseen playoff scenario, we should see Nick back next week. So feel free to tune out the first 5 minutes if you're not into any extra talk. And we appreciate everyone tuning in. We shall catch you next week.
See you guys. Thank you.